A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, saw another angel come up from the east, holding the seal of the living God. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels who were given power to damage the land and the sea. Do not damage the land or the sea or the trees until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of God. I heard the number of those who had been marked with the seal, 144,000 marked from every tribe of the children of Israel. After this, I had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes, holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God, who is seated on the throne, and from the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They prostrated themselves before the throne, worshiped God, and exclaimed, "Amen, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders spoke up and said to me, "Who are these wearing white robes? Where did they come from?" I said to him, "My Lord, you are the one who knows." He said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The word of the Lord. A reading From the first letter of St. John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God, yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they didn't know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone has this hope based on him, makes himself pure as he is pure. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you, and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." Verbum Domini. Today we celebrate the great solemnity of All Saints, celebrating those who are canonized saints and the unknown people, the many people that live lives of holiness and go directly to heaven. They don't go to purgatory at the end of their life to be further purified, but they are enjoying that heavenly blessed light. And the second reading from the first letter of St. John speaks of us as being children, as God's children now, and what we shall be has not yet been revealed. That as children, we are participating in the divine nature, right, adopted by His grace, that we belong to God as Father, and that we're His children. We're destined to be heirs of this beautiful inheritance of heaven, this heavenly life that we can begin here and now, this relationship with God, our Father. But that children, we belong to God. As parents don't forget their children, God the Father doesn't forget us. And He's leading us to this heavenly blessed life where we shall see Him as He is. We'll behold the holiness of God in heaven, the beatific vision. Everyone who has this hope based on Him makes himself pure as He is pure. So we seek sanctity, we seek holiness, we seek purity of heart. You know, our heart is really everything. It's the center, the core of our person, where we make this decision for or against God. It directs our whole being, the decisions we make in our heart, that longings we have in our heart, that desires we have in our heart. So to have a pure heart is a great achievement by God's grace. That's a great work in us that He can do by giving us His Spirit, by sealing us with that Holy Spirit that the first reading from the book of Revelation speaks of. It speaks of this vision of 144,000. And it's not to be thought of as a fixed amount that'll be in heaven, but those numbers are symbolic, like the 12 tribes of Israel to the Jewish culture. That 12 is a number of completion. And so you have 12 times 12, 12,000 times 12, it's 144,000. And it's an image that we're all called, this totality, this completion of the body of Christ, you know, is called to be in heaven, the whole body of saints, that salvation is offered to everyone. Sanctity is offered to everyone. Through faith, that sonship or being a daughter or child of God is offered to us, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit through the sacraments for salvation. And so those who have already made it, so to speak, we venerate them. We give what the church calls dulia. We give latria, that's a word meaning worship, that belongs to God alone, but we give this dulia, this honor, this reverence, this respect that are paid to His saints, their relics, images, sacramentals, so we can invoke the saints' intercession for us, which to me makes perfect sense. I can go to somebody here on earth and ask you to pray for me, and that's powerful. We're going to pray the rosary, a live rosary, on television after Mass. All of us watching at home, whatever, will be praying together. That's powerful. Well, that relationship doesn't end at death, right? These saints, they go right to heaven, and they still love us, they still care for us, they can still intercede for us through Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit. They can obtain things for us that we can't obtain on our own. They can help us. They can obtain graces for us, healings for us, solutions to various problems and endless problems in life. They can help us navigate. As people can pray on earth for us, now they can pray in heaven, inserted into the life of God in the most extraordinary way and be present to the whole body, the whole communion of the church. And it seems that God has given various saints special causes or things to intercede for. And some people talk about, and I think this is true, that it seems like at times they choose us. You know, they kind of stir something up in us that we're drawn to particular saints. And we can pray to them and ask for their help. Maybe we're particularly touched by their story, inspired by what they said or their life. And they give us, these saints give us an inspiration that they can help us if we ask. Isn't that true in life? If you don't ask, you don't know. How many things happen when we do go in and ask? We get the job through who we know sometimes, right? And people can help us at work or whatever situation, raising kids, give us advice. Well, these heavenly brothers and sisters can do the same. So I would leave that with you, just to look at the lives of the saints and think about who you're drawn to and to ask their help for different things. These saints, also the church teaches that, and I think recent popes have been particularly eloquent on this, is that they're a special witness for our time. You know, the time they lived in, and saints that we canonize in our times can be a particular witness for us. Maybe the church sees that, and just by God's grace, he wants to bring this person forward as showing us a path through this chaos that we live in, through this fallen world that we live in. We just canonized St. Carlo Acutis, right? He's a great witness to young people. He's a teenager. He created this online display, an instructional teaching on the Eucharist, because he had great love for the Mass, for the Eucharist. So he used modern means, he used technology to spread the faith. He himself liked video games, right? But he was he would moderate it, he wouldn't get consumed by it. He showed us a path through that, through various entertainments that we have today. So he can speak in a special way to our young people today. I tell the brothers I checked out with Pong, so I don't really know the video games, but apparently it's a big problem. It can be a big problem for young people today. Just my personal thoughts on it too is, well, his witness to devotion of the Eucharist. He was fascinated by the Eucharistic miracles that show us that it truly is his flesh and blood. But certainly how the Eucharist, this great gift, can strengthen us to live today, to be holy. And some other ones that touched me was Saint Faustina. You know, Jesus told her, it's recorded in the diary, that the world can only have peace if it turns to my mercy. That we're in a time, a need of mercy. In a sinful time, in a secular time, we need to turn to God to receive the forgiveness of our sins. And that mercy, that forgiveness, is a stop to the evil that keeps spreading. If that evil stops spreading in my heart, that's a big first step. If we all turn to that mercy, we can stop that evil from grabbing hold of us. He would tell her, "My heart overflows with great mercy for souls, and especially for poor sinners. If only they could understand that I am the best of fathers to them, and that it is for them that the blood and water flowed from my heart as from a fount overflowing with mercy. For them, I dwell in the tabernacle as King of Mercy." He came for the sick, not for the healthy, not for the righteous. And we today can be afraid of God. We can have this great boldness and bravado, but afraid of God. We're afraid of being judged. But if we realize he's offering us mercy, that he died for us, that's what our world needs to hear. We think of Saint Therese. She was proclaimed the greatest saint of modern times. In a very secular age, in a very self-focused age, you know, in an age of arrogance and focus on personal achievements, you know, I did it, that's my identity. She comes in Story of a Soul, telling us about being childlike, being dependent on God. And that's a path of peace. It's crazy making to be in the rat race and to think, I gotta have all this stuff, I gotta achieve all this stuff all the time. It's exhausting. She shows us a little way. And she said, "We have only to try to perform all the little acts of daily life with the greatest possible love. To recognize humbly, so the little way is humble. We recognize our limitations, but without sadness. our 1,000 imperfections, and sometimes that's the way it feels, again and again, and this and that are 1,000 imperfections, which are always resurfacing, and they are, to ask God in His strength, not ours, and with confidence, to transform those imperfections into love. Sometimes we read the lives of the saints and it seems untouchable. I can't imitate that. She's a cloistered nun, recognizing her weakness, taking it to God, and it's a path to love Him, to trust, to depend on Him. God, you gotta help me here. Help me in that's okay. In our world, we don't hear that, right? It's not okay. It's not okay. You gotta be better all the time. You gotta be perfect. I think of St. Edith Stein, a Carmelite nun that died in Auschwitz, was cremated, her ashes, they're spread. She said, "No spiritual work comes into the world without great suffering. It always challenges the whole person." Because those sufferings that we have in our life, we can think there's no point, it's useless, it's hopeless. But those sufferings united to the cross of Christ is redemptive for us, for others, for the world. She says, she also spoke as a philosopher, she spoke of the relationship of truth and love. She says, "Do not accept anything as the truth if it lacks love, and do not accept anything as love which lacks truth. One without the other becomes a destructive lie." That if we love people, we witness, proclaim, try to lead them to the truth, especially of a moral life. That leads to our human flourishing. And she would write about the cross in particular. "I felt that those who understood the cross of Christ should take it upon themselves on everybody's behalf. Of course, I know better now what it means to be wedded to the Lord and the sign of the cross. However, one can never comprehend it because it is mystery. I felt that those who understood the cross of Christ should take it upon themselves on everybody's behalf." It's a mystery. But those of us who have the faith, have this revelation, should take up our crosses and realize the power it has for us and for others. I think of Maximilian Kolbe, who too died in Auschwitz. And he went there and gave up his life, substituted his life for a family man to get back to his family, and thrown in the starvation bunker and died there. He went in and he was coming from this huge friary of over 750 friars, the biggest by far in the world. They're doing all this evangelization work, magazines, newspapers, radio, wanted to do television, created a city of the Immaculate One, city of the Immaculata. It's a city of Mary. He gets thrown into Auschwitz and eventually in this bunker, and he brought in, as he said, the city of the Immaculate into Auschwitz. What a message. He would lead the people in prayers and hymns. That he wasn't going to let the evil overcome him to lose faith, to despair. But he was going to bring the kingdom of God into every place on earth. If you can do that in Auschwitz, you can do that anywhere. What a witness. And he witnessed to the importance of our devotion to Mary. He says, "This is the age of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now begins the era of Mary Immaculate. Mary is the mother, the real mother of each of us, the queen of society. We must practically recognize Mary's mission as mother and queen, and then let her act fully, freely, and she will have unheard of triumphs. She will conquer every enemy." This devotion, he would say, he would even go beyond being a slave to Mary. He would say just to be an instrument in her, for her purposes. We have a heavenly mother. Mothers love their children. She loves us and given the special role to be the mediatrix of graces. She shares in the redemption in a unique way. and she's given to us from the cross. Jesus gives her to John, so he is to be in our life to help us to bear our crosses. I think of John Paul II. What a witness. He too spoke so eloquently of the Eucharist and Mary, writing encyclicals, and by his own witness. He was a mystic. He was prayerful. He was saintly. He was holy. He just communicated, radiated that in his meetings with people, in big gatherings. He showed the world on a global scale the path to peace and change, you know, and change for the better, change of society, through solidarity, nonviolence. And he proclaimed endlessly the dignity of the human person because he lived through the worst aspects of the 20th century with war, with Nazism in his own country. He continually proclaimed the dignity of the person and the path to human flourishing, living a moral life in an age that doesn't embrace a moral life. His great encyclical on the splendor of truth spoke about intrinsic evils. It's always wrong to do some stuff, contradicting the idea of proportionalism and ethics that holds that no such thing, you know, no thing is bad in itself, but only in proportion to others. So sometimes this could be considered a good act, looking at outcomes and things. He's saying, no, some things are always wrong. You can't do them. Right? I think that would help us in deciding what to do every morning when we get up, look at commandments, look at sin, and be obedient to God's law. And I'll end with this one, Paquita, St. Paquita, who was a slave in Africa and even other places too, I think. But she converted to Catholicism, and even suffering this horrible tragedy of slavery and being beaten and abused in every way, she was this witness of joy and peace and freedom, dependence on God. She found through her faith. Even at the end of her life, on her deathbed, she had these traumatic flashbacks. But she found hope. She found Jesus that just changed everything in her life. That after losing family and homeland and everything, she could still have this peace and joy and stay focused on Christ. What a witness for all of us to go through something like that. We're all called to holiness. Vatican II spoke about the universal call, not just priests, religious, nuns, but everyone, the lay faithful. And we have the witness of these saints to say it is possible by God's grace. The commandments tell us, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the whole Israelite community and tell them, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Jesus in the gospel tells us to be perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. He's speaking of perfection of charity, to love God and love neighbor. That's the path. As Mary, to give our fiat, to surrender, to seek His will, to give, as Paul says, the obedience of faith. Those are the paths to holiness. And to have this communion with God through a deep prayer life where we receive strength, we receive grace. We give expression and foster our belonging to Him as children of God. And the saints are there to help us. Find your favorites, pray to them, ask for their help.